It's renewable, hard-wearing, good-looking, and has been proven to make us more productive, boost concentration, and increase our feeling of well-being.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm talking about wood.
People working in environments with exposed wood actually have higher levels of well-being and they take less sickies too.
Find out more about how wood can transform a workspace by downloading the free report at makeitwood.org.
A Podcast One production.
Hi, I'm Nat Kringoudis.
And I'm Cecilia Ramsdale. Welcome to The Wellness Collective, a podcast where we invite you to be part of our wellness community to share, learn and live better.
Welcome back to another episode of The Wellness Collective. We're doing something a little bit different today. We decided.
Yes.
Well, I did. And then I had to convince you that we do a lot of interviews of me. You ask me questions, and I thought maybe we actually should ask you some questions about who you are, what you do, but also I wanted to title the episode How to Find Your Voice, because maybe you should actually introduce what your background is and how you've gotten here.
Okay.
Go on then.
Oh, I feel like I'm under the pump.
You should
see
the look on her face. She's got this like smirk, like, whoa.
Okay, so the reason that you're saying that is because I, in my other life, I work as a voiceover artist and I have worked in radio for a long time. But the voiceover stuff, I love doing. And I love the radio stuff too, but it was always about doing things with my voice and coming up with ideas and characters, and everything was all driven from, you know, using what I could do with my voice, changing the pitch and all that kind of stuff. And so I've done a lot of training over the years to try and work out, you know, what I can do to better that, I suppose, and I've found things along the way. But it is very interesting, the whole idea of finding your voice, because I think for a lot of us, we don't really know what that is.
No.
We don't know how to have a voice in a situation.
Absolutely. So you said you've done training, and how long have you been doing this for? Like, you said you've done radio and you currently do a lot of voiceovers. Cecilia is a lot of the time on the radio or the television. I'm like, that's Cecilia. and she sounds different every time.
Yeah. So I started doing it in 2001, pretty much. But I lived in London for a little while before that, and I did some hospital radio in London.
What's hospital radio?
So brilliant.
What do you mean?
Big shout out to anybody who's doing their hospital radio rounds today.
Probably what's that?
Very few. So in Australia, we have like a community radio arrangement, which is a really, really good training ground for people. And people who are passionate about radio, they can go and have a show, a weekly show that they prepare. And there's not much sort of guidance by the station. They're quite happy for you to go and, you know, take hold of it. But in England, they have hospital radio, which the hospitals actually have a radio station that is played to the patients.
Oh, wow.
So when I lived in London, I got involved with this hospital radio station at St. Mary's in Paddington, which I think is actually where the princess...
I caught up. My headphones are caught around my foot and I'm about to...
fall off her chair. And all the excitement.
Sorry, yes, about...
Princess
who?
Kate.
Oh, where she had a baby.
Yeah.
Her bebes.
Mind you, when we were there, I said to my boyfriend at the time, if anything goes wrong, I really don't want to come to this hospital, because it was...
Well, why was she birthing there then?
Oh, it's got a fancy part.
Oh,
but I wasn't in the fancy part. So what you had to do, though, is go, you got allocated a ward, and you went with your clipboard to the ward and spoke to everybody in the ward. I think I had the kidney ward mostly, so the people on dialysis.
Renal failure. Yes. Excellent.
Okay. Which, but it was quite confronting, actually.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like, okay, so this is the part I have to do the bit that I really want to do.
Which is the radio part.
Which is the radio part, yeah.
Okay.
And so you'd go around and you'd have a chat with Doris in the bed and Bob and, you know, ask them for what they'd like to hear, and you'd play requests.
Oh.
So then you'd go down back into the station.
Like love songs and dedications.
Sort of.
Like bedpans and...
Totally. But it was
Switches.
the best experience, because and I guess I had a novelty voice because I was Australian, you know, in this London hospital.
How long did you do that for?
Oh, about 6 months.
Yeah, right.
And then when I came back to Australia, I did all the voiceovers for the station. So it'd be like, you know, 12 to 1 with Barry Brown on PHR, Paddington Hospital Radio. So that was one of my big starts.
That's good.
But I think, though... So I've done some training with a voice coach for many years, and I got to go to New York in 2009 and go to a voice teachers conference, which, you know, you have those situations in your life where you go and do something and then you think, I had no idea what actually walking into.
Yes.
And this is absolutely amazing.
Isn't
and changing
that funny
my life.
When that happens though, you're like, I wish I was a little bit more. But also you sometimes that happens afterwards too. Like you get home and then you're like, man, I wish I appreciated that a little bit more when I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really didn't know.
So why was it so great?
Well, because there was people from all around the world there, a lot of American and a lot of British, but some of the best, most respected vocal teachers in the whole world. And they brought different kind of aspects of, you know, work that they'd worked on. Some of them were like Shakespearean, worked with Shakespearean actors a lot. And so to do Shakespeare, you need to have a voice that can carry throughout a theatre and to be able to sustain the text throughout, you know, the hours of performing it, which can be really difficult.
Yeah,
and
right.
You have to learn to use your body accordingly.
Yes.
And then there were, you know, other ones that had different, but it was all about the way your body and your voice connect, which I'd never really thought about before.
Yeah. And so, and what can you talk to that a little bit? Like, yeah, I think I had to do this in singing when I was younger and once I got that, I was like, and it's hard when you're young because you don't really know.
No.
It's not until you actually find that, but please explain.
So when you use your voice, it's one of those things that I love talking about, and sometimes if I'm teaching people about this too, we talk about the idea that when you want to walk somewhere, you just get up and you walk, right? Mm-hmm. Or you breathe and that just happens. That's, you don't think about that. And the same with speaking most of the time. For the vast majority of us, we have an idea, we open our mouth, we speak. That's it. We don't think about it beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to think about what's actually going on in your body, well, your lungs have to be full of air to be able to, you know, make your vocal cords vibrate. And then you need to have the resonance in your head and your chest to make those, you know, like you get into the physics of it.
Mm.
You need to be standing so that your posture is in a position. Mind you, we're sitting down right now. But, you know, like.
Well, we sound really good.
Oh, totes. So but so there's all these elements of what's going on in our bodies. And if something's wrong with our body, if we're unwell or if we have an injury or something like that, it can affect everything. And your voice is exactly the same.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting. I remember when I was. I did singing and did voice throughout high school and VCE. I did it as my music instrument.
Can we have karaoke?
Oh, my goodness, no. Anyway, but the technique was very much the with the breath, and I used to have to imagine it coming out of my feet and gramming it back in my mouth again.
Mm.
And it's kind of meditative. My teacher used to make me sit there for at least 5 minutes before and at the end of every lesson.
Mm.
And practice that, which was really interesting. But even now, I know I haven't sung for a long time. And you kind of, it's one of those things, if you don't exercise it, you lose that ability to have that strength in your voice. But I always maintain that people say all the time, oh, it's a real shame. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm a speaker. I still have to be able to speak properly. I have to be able, I've got a very loud voice if I need it to be. I don't need a mic in many situations. you know, projection and how you pronounce things. And so anyway, very interesting. I kind of get it, but kind of don't. I bring everything back to music, but it's not really what I do anymore.
Well, I think too, I love this idea that it's about breath, right? Because if you think that we're sort of like a saxophone, I think saxophone or a clarinet, where you've got the reed and you've got the body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't work unless you've got the air.
Yeah,
so you
right.
need to blow the air through it. And we're sort of the same. So if you're not blowing the air properly, then your voice can be kind of not as strong or as good as it can be. And I always think you want to have full use of it.
Yes.
So in any situation. And that's like even just in speaking, you know, to your friends and everything. I think it's so interesting. I went out a few weeks ago to a birthday party and we walked into this bar and my husband just looked at me and he goes, it's really loud in here. And I was like, I know. And all of a sudden I was shouting.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You know, to get over it.
I hate that.
And then I thought, there's like 150 people in here all shouting at each other.
Yeah, if you all just took it down a couple of decibels, would be fine.
No one's using their voice properly and there's going to be injuries galore just from a night out.
To your voice. But that happens. Sometimes you come home from a night out and you've got no voice.
Mm.
I know after coaching the basketball team I have no voice.
Oh, yeah, that's because you're
if you've ever been
bossing.
In the acoustics in MSAC,
yeah.
oh my goodness me, not good, not good at all. You've got to scream and they can't hear you. So I think that's particularly important, I think, for all of us. You know, we might have people listening going, oh, what's that got to do with me? I have a desk job.
Yeah.
But I still think that you've got to make it count. And when you actually can articulate things and use your body properly.
Yes.
It's got to be, in a way, it's just an awareness,
isn't
it? It's
freeing, yeah. I think too, the world that we live in, you know, with social media and everything, you're presenting an image, whether you have a desk job, whether you work in a shop, whether you have
always
a job where you're speaking.
It's true.
Well, if you're working in a shop, you're speaking with people all day, every day. And we make assessments of each other the minute we open our mouths.
Mm.
So you start speaking to someone and they are making a bunch of assumptions about you immediately. Mm. So I think you want to be in control of that stuff or aware of that stuff completely.
Totally. You don't want to open your mouth and go, yes, go, mate. So here's a question then.
Yeah.
Do you like the sound of your voice when you hear it back?
Oh, do you know what? It's taken me years to get used to that. And even this, like I edit our podcasts at home, I bring them home and I sit there and sometimes I just grimace. I laugh
so
at you because you make some funny noises back on the edit. But me, I'm like, and if I'm driving along and I come on the radio on one of the ads, I pull, like, I grimace at myself. I'm like, grip my teeth. Isn't it funny?
It sounds so good. Yeah, it's taken me a long time to get used to my voice, but I don't know anyone that hasn't heard their voice back and gone, oh, sound horrible.
Yes.
And you don't.
No.
You know, I mean, you would probably get feedback on your voice all the time that it's nice to listen to. People say that about me and I laugh. I'm like, I really don't vibe that. But thanks. I'll take it on board and I'll just trust that you're being honest.
But then when it comes down to it, what I love about all this is it's all physical. It's like accents. Like if you want to learn how to do an accent, well, it's just a physical placement of the way your tongue is and where you're producing the sounds within your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a recipe. If you know the elements of the recipe, you can do that. But it feels like it's so hard to kind of put your finger on how that happens. And it's the same, I think, listening back to yourself.
Mm.
You're hearing yourself through your own head, your ears are picking up the sounds that are coming through your body, not necessarily what is being projected, you know, from another person.
Mm.
So it's a different sound to what other people hear.
Yeah, absolutely. That is very fascinating.
You know, it's a truly wonderful material because it's renewable, hard-wearing, good-looking, and it's been proven to make us more productive, boost concentration, and increase our feeling of well-being. It's pretty cool.
I'm curious.
Nat, do you know what this wonder stuff is?
Tell me.
It is wood.
We sun-loving Aussies spend 90% of our time indoors.
Well, wood has been proven to make our workplaces healthier, less stressful, and more creative spaces.
On the reverse side, people in workplaces with less than 20% natural-looking wooden surfaces are much less satisfied with their working life compared to those in offices with loads of natural wood.
Mm-hmm. Look, being surrounded by wood connects us to nature, maybe like working in a forest, something that's clearly an important part of our physical and mental health.
You can find out more about how wood can transform a workspace by downloading the free report at makeitwood.org. So here's the other thing about speaking. Like as a speaker, I don't know how, no one taught me to do this, but I don't know whether often, I guess, you're reading off a script. So that's one way of using your brain. And
yes.
I'm not good at that. I'm really not good at reading off a script. You're amazing. You just pick it up and read it.
Yeah,
I'm
but like, that's, I can't do it ad-libbing. That's the problem.
So
I'm
used
to having the words.
So I am able to know what I'm going to say before I say it.
Yes.
Is this something that you need to practice as well? Like I will think it's, I don't know, I guess it's a learnt thing, but I can kind of see what I'm going to say, you know, maybe.
You're writing the words
10
before
words
you say
before
them
I say it.
In your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I can do that.
Yeah, right.
I've never been able to remember lines though.
I'm
my hat off
with lines
to actors.
But once I know the lines, like that's fine. But I did little theatre in high school and I learned all lines, no problem.
That's because you were a teenager as well.
Probably.
You didn't have a head full of junk like you
do
now.
Oh, I've got a whole lot of junk in there now. But, you know, when I've had to do scripts recently, I'm like, oh, stuff that. Can we just record like 4 lines at a time?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Let me just talk.
Yeah.
I'm not good with scripts.
No, you're good with talk, though.
I'm good with talk.
That's good. Yeah, hey, I I do want to say too, with this whole idea that your voice is a physical thing, if you have concerns about the way you speak or you're shy or, you know, you speak in a small voice, there are really basic things that you can do, you know.
Tell us.
Well, a lot of it is about breathing. So, you know, you need to end your posture. So start with those two things. Like, are your knees locked when you're standing up when you're speaking? Because if they are, then that can throw your body.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That can change the way your back is aligned.
I really want to
the
stand
way your
up
head
and like
aligned.
Lock my knees and then unlock my knees.
Yeah,
and talk.
Well, you could do that and see what the difference is.
Okay. Yeah, keep talking.
And the other one is, of course, your breathing. So, you know, are you gasping? Because if you're gasping for air all the time, and if you're breathing these shallow breaths at the top of your lungs, then you don't have enough air to create the voice that you need to make the words. But
I'm just finding that if I lock my legs, like I am right now, they're just sore from training yesterday. No, but I am locking them and it's very tense. Like
it's
you
tense.
Feel really like,
yeah.
I want to lock my shoulders in as well when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas if I undo them all,
yeah.
then
you're loose.
Yeah, I'm that person that always wants to lean on something anyway.
Like, yeah, but it's also about the what happens with the way your head is then moved on your neck. Because if you're standing with your knees locked, then it will throw your posture out. And your
so
head
you'll sound
tends
different.
To, yeah, so you can't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But,
amazing. That's a good tip, actually. I guess if you are shy, it's no one's going to know that you're trying that on.
No.
It's different, you know, if you're shy and you're saying, use a bolder voice, that's going to be confronting.
Yeah.
But just looking at your posture,
no
one's going to even know.
Concentrate on what your knees are doing.
Yes.
I actually got a broken nose back in 2004. No,
it's
I had
not
a funny accident.
I know that's not funny, but I'm just thinking of voiceovers with a, so we're here today.
Well, that's right. And you know this whole idea, which I'm sure you've come across in the clinic like a billion times, that if there is damage to your body will use everything in its power to protect that damage. And that means that everything else then has to compensate and overcompensate often.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes the way your body is working and sometimes not for the better. While you either get out of the habit of you know, protecting that part, whatever it is, or you just carry on like that forever. So when I broke my nose, that's exactly the situation I had, that there was swelling and there was, you know, the recovery process. And so I wasn't speaking the way I had previously, which of course was a bit of a problem that I had to overcome. And I worked for a long time with my voice coach, Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
And she was really good at trying to train that out of me that I could then, you know, use the rest of my body to kind of,
so
you know, let go.
So do you also think that you didn't sound the same, you don't sound the same as you used to?
No, I probably do now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it was just those initial months. And I think, you know, if you're dealing with, well, it's sore and if you've ever broken your nose, it's like you bang it on every single thing. You brush your hair and you bang it. You put your top on and you bang it. And it's really not fun. I don't know how people have nose jobs.
What are some of the things that you do, like especially even with nerves and, you know, having, you probably don't get nervous when you have to do a voiceover anymore. Was there ever a time where you would feel nervous even doing a voiceover?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, for sure.
So you are human.
Yeah, but see, I could never sing. Like you were saying, you used to do singing at school. I was petrified because singing and your voice is so much part of who you are.
But I don't think singing or talking is actually, I mean,
no,
as a voiceover artist, I think it's equal. It's an equal skill, like what
you're
doing.
Well, I've always found singing to be more confronting though. And I think it's because your voice is so caught up in who you are, like your sense of self is so tightly related to your voice, which is why you get these bunches of girls particularly that will end up speaking the same because they want to all just be part of this group. And
so
they adapt their vocal styles to just sound like they're part of the gang.
I remember wanting to sound like a few people that were older than me, but at school, definitely.
Well, now the latest one is like vocal fry.
What's that?
You know, remember how Bob Hawke used to speak? But now it's a young girl thing. So it's like, yes,
I'm going to
go out on the weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's very interesting. I think I look at even rappers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember my parents when I was younger, they'd be like, oh, that's not talent. But they actually are pretty clever, the way that they string all that together and the speed of their voice and being measured. We probably should talk a little bit about that as well, because I think that this is very beneficial for anyone who wants to actually open their mouth. I think we should be aware of how we present ourselves all the time. Like you said, we're constantly marketing ourselves.
Well, we are these days.
Yes, we really
there's
are.
Very few of us that can kind of hide behind anything.
Absolutely. But then also, you know, like I said, how you do that, how measured are you, think about what's coming out of your mouth.
Mm.
I think it's excellent for anyone that's in a speaking role, or we've got people that listen to us that obviously do what we do. Like they want a podcast, or they want to speak, or they want to, I don't know, get on Instagram and speak on Insta stories.
The thing about using your voice though is it's not like singing from the point of view that I don't think you necessarily need to have training unless you want to learn specific things with someone, or you're the kind of person that you know, if you're doing one-on-one, you get more out of it. And I'm a bit like that, I think. But you have to be really self-aware, and you have to be really self-critical to the point where you're like, I can do better with this, like pronunciation and stuff. Like if you listen back to yourself and you're saying Australia, I'm going straight down to the pub.
But don't you think that's something
you can correct and identify that
absolutely
stuff?
Absolutely. So do you think that's a good thing for people to do that want to record yourself and listen
start
to yourself
start recording
back.
Yourself and listen to yourself back and be critical. Say, wow, I didn't say the G when I said we were going down to the... This is a real Australian thing, isn't
it?
Yes,
it's so Australian.
Yeah. Especially if you're in America, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. Like your first point of call is... Have a listen. Be aware of the people around you. Listen to the voices that you like, the rhythms that you like. Mm. Rhythm is a huge thing with vocals, especially with voiceovers. There's a real rhythm to voiceovers generally. But in just speech sounds, there's this rhythm that we speak in and we can recognise instantly. So there's all this other stuff going on with speech, which I find fascinating because there's this nerdy part of me that thinks it's really interesting.
Well, that's very good though. I think it's excellent. So I think, you know, again, also being heard, speaking, being able to articulate in a way that people are engaged and listen. Mm-hmm. I think it all ties back into your health and well-being at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Being heard helps you to feel healthy and respected and loved. Uh-huh. And if you find that you're shy, or you hate the sound of your voice, or you don't have a rhythm or whatever, these are some little things that you can start to implement. But I do think you're right. The first thing you should do is listen to yourself.
Absolutely. And if you've got a smartphone, you've got everything you need right there. Get your voice memos out. And even if you just go, oh, what am I going to start with? Grab the newspaper or a magazine. Mm-hmm. Press record, read out a paragraph to yourself and have a listen back and see what you can identify.
Because, I mean, also that helps with your confidence too, whether it's, you know, asking for a pay rise or just communicating with somebody. Mm. I think it's so important that you get to articulate that.
And the other thing that you definitely, I think, awareness, you said before, do you get nervous? Breathing. This whole idea of even like 5 really deep, like yoga style breaths where you breathe right down into the bottom of your stomach and hold it, and then... So you breathe in through your nose, hold, and then breathe out through your mouth slowly. It's that calming thing. What when you're giving birth, when you're nervous, when you're meditating, pretty much anything
it's
to do
with...
taking
you out of fight or flight.
It is.
Switching you into just,
And I think if you keep that in mind, then you're halfway there.
Love it. Hmm. Well, I've loved actually talking to you today about all of this.
How about that?
I know, so good.
I've never been interviewed before.
Well, I think you've got some really great things to say, and I think it's really great how we tie this back into our general health and well-being.
I think it's
very important.
I think it
goes
really
unnoticed. I don't think unless you are either aware or in your line of work, I think it could be a little bit of a superpower.
And there's also one other element to it. I remember meeting a girl years ago that I did acting classes with, and she had a voice that was, it's hard to describe it, it was very constricted, very tight. And I think what was going on was there was so much else happening in her life with friends and family and everything else, and it presented itself in the way her voice worked. So your voice, like I said before, is so connected to your sense of self and your emotional state. I mean, we all know if you've gotten up to speak in front of a crowd at a wedding or something like that and you're emotional, how difficult that can be. I get a lump in my throat every time I go to my kids' assembly and they sing Advance Australia Fair. I can't sing it. I get that like emotional lump. So, you know, being aware of that too, like if you've always struggled to find that voice, maybe have a think about what else is going on, you
That's
know?
Good. It's good advice. Thank you, Cecilia.
Oh, wow.
For sharing with us today your secrets. Totally. Mm. We've loved bringing, actually, this is number 26
episodes. How about that?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That is a season that of is the Wellness Collective.
Mm-hmm. And we are so proud of all the people who have come and joined us. And
yes,
we have learnt so much throughout this season. And it's been so wonderful to be on this journey.
The good news is we'll be back with another season, but we do still need everybody to jump on board and listen, download, rate, because that helps us to keep on doing this. I'm fairly sure if no one's listening, they're not going to let us keep doing this.
You know what, too? I think a few episodes ago, we might have said we were going to read out our favourite ones. So, so first episode of season two, we are going to do a big shout out to the people.
We have to,
who
our favourite comments of season one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's do that.
And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us, you can go to natkringoudis.com and I've got a website now.
Oh, Cecilia, you're breaking my heart.
CeciliaRamsdaleVoice.com.
Excellent.
How about that?
There you go. Go and annoy her.
Ties in with the theme too, doesn't it? You can send me an email.
Absolutely.
You can have a look.
Hi, Cecilia, love your voice. Okay, bye.
Maybe. All right. Hey, until next time, until the next season. We hope you are feeling a little happier.
Healthier.
And better.
Yes.
It's renewable, hard-wearing, good-looking, and has been proven to make us more productive, boost concentration, and increase our feeling of well-being.
Seriously?
Yes. Mm. I'm talking about wood.
People working in environments with exposed wood actually have higher levels of well-being and they take less sickies too.
Find out more about how wood can transform a workspace by downloading the free report at makeitwood.org.